Feminists are busy rewriting all of history, psychology, mythology, sociology, and even theology to suit the spirit of the age.
For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a call to true masculinity. I wrote a book called The Mark of a Man, written in the form of letters, informal letters, to my nephew Pete. And in the introduction, I've talked about some of the damage that the Equal Rights Amendment, which had only recently been defeated when this book was written, how they, in this era of ERA, we'd been trying our best to erase and ignore, overcome, or at least to obscure the physical facts. Sometimes we hope that if we become truly civilized and freed up, we'll be above all that. And perhaps if we get terribly spiritual, we'll manage to transcend it. Maybe we can just all become persons and not men and women. The transcendence, however, is not that of real Christian vision at all, but rather of a thoroughly worldly compulsion to rearrange things to fit our humanism. Feminists are busy rewriting all of history, psychology, mythology, sociology, and even theology to suit the spirit of the age. And if you dare say, hey, wait a second, you know what you'll be called. There is a difference, besides the biological one, between us women and you men. You mean all those tired old stereotypes, somebody says, men are supposed to do this, women are supposed to do that. That's nothing but conditioning. That's knee-jerk stuff, traditionalism. I've heard that answer too. Rosemary Radford Ruther, professor of historical theology, in her book From Machismo to Mutuality, speaks of exposing masculinity and femininity as social ideologies. And I say to that, alas, Christians have lost their bearings when they accept a label like that. No, Pete, I'm not talking about biology or stereotypes or social ideologies. I'm talking about what sexuality, masculinity, and femininity means. Did you ever stop to wonder if the physiology means anything? Well, I'm asking you to stop and wonder. There's a great deal more here than meets the eye, and there's much more than can be explained by custom or culture. There's mystery. And that's what my book, The Mark of a Man, is about, the mystery of masculinity. I was fascinated to come across an article called The Failure of Feminism in, of all things, Newsweek, November 19th, 1990. The Failure of Feminism by Kay Ebeling, or Ebeling. She says, the other day, I had the world's fastest blind date. A yuppie from Eureka penciled me in for 50 minutes on a Friday and met me at a watering hole in the rural Northern California town of Arcata. He breezed in through his jammed daily planner on the table and shot questions at me, watching my reactions as if it were a job interview. He eyed how much I drank. Then he breezed out to his next appointment. He had given us 50 minutes to size each other up and see if there was any chance for romance. His exit was so fast that as we left, he let the door slam in my face. It was an interesting slam. Most of our 50-minute conversation had covered the changing state of male-female relationships. My blind date was 40 years old, from the experimental generation. He is, quote, actively pursuing new ways for men and women to interact now that old traditions no longer exist, unquote. And Kay Ebeling says, that's a real quote. He really did say that when I asked him what he liked to do. This was a man who'd read Ms. magazine and believed every word of it. He'd been single for 16 years, but had lived with a few women during that time. He was off that evening for a ski weekend, meeting someone who was paying her own way for the trip. Kay goes on to say, "I, too, am from the experimental generation, but I couldn't even pay for my own drink. To me, feminism has backfired against women. In 1973, I left what could have been a perfectly good marriage, taking with me a child in diapers, a 10-year-old Plymouth, and Volume 1, Number 1 of Ms. magazine. I was convinced I could make it on my own. In the last 15 years, my ex has married or lived with a succession of women. As he gets older, his women stay in their 20s. Meanwhile, I've stayed unattached. He drives a BMW. I ride buses. Today, I see feminism as the great experiment that failed, and women in my generation, its perpetrators, are the casualties. Many of us, myself included, are saddled with raising children alone. The resulting poverty makes us experts at cornmeal recipes and ways to find free recreation on weekends. At the same time, single men from our generation amass fortunes in CDs and real estate ventures so that they can breeze off on ski weekends. Feminism freed men, not women. Now, men are spared the nuisance of a wife and family to support. After childbirth, if his wife's waist doesn't return to 20 inches, the husband can go out and get a more petite woman. It's far more difficult for the wife, now tied down with a baby, to find a new man. My blind date that Friday waved goodbye as he drove off in his RV. I walked home and paid the sitter with laundry quarters. The main message of feminism was, woman, you don't need a man. Remember, those of you around 40, the phrase, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle? That joke circulated through consciousness-raising groups across the country in the 70s. It was a philosophy that made divorce and cohabitation casual and routine. Feminism made women disposable. And she goes on to say, what's worse, we asked for it. Many women decided you don't need a family structure to raise your children. We packed them off to daycare centers where they could get their nurturing from professionals. Then we put on our suits and ties, packed our briefcases, and took off on this great experiment, convinced that there was no difference between ourselves and the guys in the other offices. How wrong we were. Well, I won't read you all the rest of that article. That's from Kay Ebeling's article, The Failure of Feminism, from Newsweek, November 19, 1990. And I would say, which would you take? Feminism, or what is called, as though it were a dirty word, traditionalism? I'm asking you men, what was God's original design? Where did we get the idea that women should have babies and stay home and cook and sew and wash clothes and take care of the babies? Well, I think we got it from God. I was accused one time of a reporter who had heard me speak on television on the subject of women's ordination. I happened to be opposing it very strenuously in a debate with a nun who belongs to a church that opposes it, and she was in favor of it. Oddly enough, she was on the affirmative side that women should be allowed to be ordained. Anyway, when the TV show was over, I got a number of phone calls, and one was from a reporter who was incredulous that a woman in the 1970s could possibly stand up publicly, even on public television, and say some of the things that she had thought she heard me say. She said, "Did I hear you wrong, or did you really say so-and-so?" And she repeated some of the things that I had really said. And I said, "Yes, that's exactly what I said, and that is exactly what I meant." Well, she said, "Don't you think you're terribly Victorian?" And I said, "Well, my views are much older than that. I'm not a traditionalist, and I'm not a Victorian. I simply am a woman trying to read the Bible to figure out what God wants me to do about it. And one of the things that I believed that God wanted me to do about it was to help men and women to understand that masculinity and femininity are God's idea and not ours, not to be tampered with. And when we start messing around with mystery, we're in what the Californians would call deep yogurt. I mean, it is a dangerous business to be messing around with God's order. God created the man first. He created the man to be an initiator. He created him with the physique to do hard manual labor, to hunt, to fish, to plant crops, to provide for a family. That husband was to husband his wife. To husband means to take care of, to accept responsibility for, to protect, to provide for. And you remember that it was Eve that was made second, and she was made designed exactly for Adam's need. And when Adam received God's gift of Eve, Adam named her. And the authority to name in the Old Testament represented the acceptance of responsibility. My call is to true masculinity, true men who will accept responsibility, put away childish things, grow up, get married in God's time, seek a wife through prayer, through waiting, through sexual abstinence. This is true manliness. Pray that God will show you what your responsibility is. And I do believe that if men had been truly men, godly men, that we wouldn't have had a feminist movement. It's because men had fallen down on their job. Part of their job is to take care of us women. So I'll be talking again on this subject next week, a call to true masculinity.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.